The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right. We are on page 2 of your notes still. And we will pick up here. We noted in verse 14. Well, anyway, let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Yeah, if you need to rebound, this is the time to do so. Get your mental attitude straight and focus your attention on information that you have heard, or maybe you haven't. I don't know. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for everything you provide us with as believers so that we can continue on our quest for the upward call and the high reward that you have reserved for those who diligently seek you. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. Last time we noted that the reason, one of the reasons, it's not the only reason, but it is a part of the rationale for God to start bringing the Jews back to their homeland, which occurred in the early 20th century. And that return eventually led to the Jews establishing a nation state. They had not had one since 70 AD. This is amazing that this amount of time could transpire and all the changes that occurred in human history, and they find themselves back in the land, getting ready as a part of what is called the Second Restoration. Well, we noted that this whole time the Jews have been out, the nations have been running their mouths, writing stuff, saying stuff, to the effect that the Jews are no longer an issue, no longer have any relevance, and their homeland doesn't have relevance. Even some Christians and denominations promoted this stuff, that they've been cut off permanently because they did the big bad deed of repudiating their Messiah, Jesus Christ. So they seem to have traction with this, and there was a lot of talk. And, of course, the Jews dwelt among them in the various nations. Now, all you got to do, like I've always said, all you've got to do is go to your Bible. Now, those that are not don't believe the Bible, then fine, I'm not talking. But those who make a statement that they believe and take the Bible seriously, but Christians and Jews, the religious ones, the Orthodox ones, they believe the Old Testament is inspired, is to be taken literally. There was a literal exodus out of Egypt and all the rest. I'm talking about those Jews that believe this. But they are under the blackout of the soul when it comes to, well, why did you get evicted? You got the law of Moses. You can go to it. You revere him, right? And you can go to Leviticus and you can find out that when you behaved yourselves, you were secure in the land. And when you stepped over that line and continued down that downward path, that the final thing God could do would do is to unceremoniously force you through an invasion out of the land and put you in exile until you straightened up, or a generation down the word down the line straightened up. You can read that, right? But they never talk about this. I mean, maybe I live in a, you know, where I don't, but I never hear any statements about, yeah, we're out here as divine punishment. And one generation after another has continued to perpetuate this. And the only Jews that probably understand this are the ones that believe in Jesus Christ and said, oh yeah, our ancestors rejected our Messiah at the first advent. Here's an irony for you. If they hadn't rejected him, if the leaders had embraced him as they knew who he was, there would be no salvation because they would not have conspired to have him crucified. Isn't that funny? Not funny, but ha-ha. But isn't that interesting? If they had done what they were supposed to do, they would have never had him crucified. The Romans had no interest in killing him. The Romans weren't just running around killing people for the hell of it like ISIS or Hamas. They didn't do that. In that sense, they were civilized. And if someone was in the Roman Empire and was law-abiding and doing what they were supposed to, you believe this? Well, whatever. I mean, to a certain extent. Of course, that changed when Christianity got rolling. But the Scripture is very clear. See, this again is another illustration of the ability of people to see something in black and white and not figure it out. And we noted this last time, excuse me, in connection with this law that they were given at the beginning of their history here at Sinai through Moses, and it was pretty clear that if they're out there, they're out there, and they can get what we call reversion recovery for the first and second deportations. If you're out there and you confess your sins and all that you did back then, I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I'll remember my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. It doesn't reverse order. The covenant was given to Abraham, reiterated to his son Isaac, and reiterated to his son Jacob. Each of them, it's in Genesis, each of them got a reiteration of the Abrahamic covenant, which takes precedent over the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant has teeth and has force, but it cannot overrule the unconditional covenant. It's kind of like an illustration of salvation. You can't do anything to mess up your salvation once you got it. You can mess up your Christian life, trash it, but you cannot mess up your salvation. We noted this. We noted that in Leviticus 44, yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies. See, Israel was to be a light to the world. They were to stand out and be a witness to all the nations, all the Gentile peoples near and far who were in paganism up to their ears. And Israel taught the doctrine of one God, not multiple deities. None of this mess. And they were to be a witness to the nations. And some of the nations and some of the peoples in the nations were seekers and did come to the truth as a result of the witness of Israel. There's a psalm on that, where they came and visited the temple. This was the house of prayer for all nations. Back then, you could make the long trip over sea, over land, and get there and find the truth. But when they're in the land of their enemies, Leviticus 27:44, I will not reject them. This means a total, absolute rejecting of them. I will not reject them, nor will I so abhor them as to destroy them, eliminate them, take them all out. I will not do that. Breaking my covenant with them. I'm in covenant with them. They can act up, but I'm in covenant, and that covenant is that Abrahamic covenant. It is without, it cannot be overturned by all the negative volition and hostility that the Jews have manifested in their long history up to this day. And they got some more bad deeds they're going to pull. And it isn't fighting terrorists. It's aligning the leaders. It's always these leaders that do this. And of course, people are guilty too, down the rank and file, when they make this deal with the Antichrist. Israel would fall prey to this in ancient times. When they were threatened by one enemy, they would try to run down to Egypt and maybe we can get support from them and we can have a coalition with them. Well, stupid. You've got Yahweh to fight for you. He'll take care of your enemy. I don't care if it's the big bad Assyrians that came in the day of Isaiah and Hezekiah and took all the outer cities, and Jerusalem was the next plum they were going to grab. And they were all out there around it. And they had a propagandist who came in, Rabshakeh, I think is his name, something like that. And he was giving this speech, just surrender. Don't put yourself through any more of this. Blah, blah, blah. Trying to demoralize them. And you know the long story of that. On the day that I guess things were really going to get underway with the siege, none of the infantry and the rank and file soldiers woke up that morning. That camp was dead quiet. No clinking of pans, talking, nothing. And the only ones left was the ruler and the top generals, and they went running back to Nineveh. And the Jews had to bury this tremendous number of people. So God is for Israel when they do right, and when they do wrong, He's not going to eradicate them. He'll treat a Jew just like a Gentile. If you're not a believer, you end up in hell. Your race doesn't save you. The flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Whatever your birthright, whatever your ancestry, it won't do anything for you. You've got to be a believer in Jesus Christ. So, for I am the Lord their God. But I'll remember for them the covenant with their ancestors as if it was just issued yesterday. It's as fresh in God as when He said it and spoke it to Abraham. I'm going to make a covenant with you. You can go study on the doctrine, the separate doctrine of the Abrahamic covenant. And that's true for the other unconditional covenants too. I'll remember them with their ancestors whom I brought up out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. So, they became an officially a nation at Sinai. You need three things to be a nation. You need a law code. Guess what ours is? The one they're violating like hell all over the place and making fun of, and from judges to politicians to presidents and everything. This is your constitutional rights by birth in being an American. And they're supposed to defend the Constitution and protect it. Israel, theirs marching orders was the Mosaic Covenant. Presented to them by Moses from Sinai. God gave the Ten Commandments. He just gave that from the mountain and vibrated the heck out of them. And they ran to Moses and said, we'll talk, we'll do everything you say, but don't let that voice come down again. It wasn't going to harm them. It was done in an impressive way. Fire out of heaven. A booming voice across the camp of Israel. Serious. The Ten Commandments. Like, you shall have no other gods before you. You shall not, blah, 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 blah. And then the thing was, do you want to enter into covenant with Him? Party of the second part? Like a marriage? All that Yahweh says, we will do. That was the voice of the Exodus generation. The knot was tied. To use a marital analogy. And that meant, in their genetics, all the future generations down the road were bound by that oath. and their statement of their own free will. They wanted to enter into covenant because God says, I got my part. My part's to take care of you and to bless you incredibly in all these ways. Your part is to adhere to my ordinances, my righteousness, my commandments, and do them. Okay. the first generation was pretty pathetic, but they were believers. Give them that. It's more than I can say for the Jews at large today. This is where they're still at. They say, we're God's people. We're God's people. Well, you have a racial angle here, but it won't get you eternal life. You know, and they're going to have to come to grips with that. And that awaits after the rapture. Okay. So, one of the things that God has been hearing, to use an analogy, through the centuries, is all the talk. The insult, it's called, in Ezekiel, it's called the insults of the nations. The Jews have had to live with this. This is a part of their discipline. Part of their discipline, you're kicked out of the land. Then you're in another nation. And then they're running their mouths. Oh, you're the chosen people. And of course, the Jews tended to live in their own communities. This was characteristic during the Nazi era. They lived in a particular area, a ghetto, the Jewish ghetto. They lived there, and all this time, and so in that sense, it's kind of like when they were in Egypt. They're separate from the general population. Not that there wasn't any intermarriage, but in the case of the German one, it's very interesting because they tended to intermarry cousins and things like that. And the History Channel had that deal on it that one of my members, ex-members, told me about. His wife was watching it, and he called her husband, go look at this. The DNA of Jews reveal that there are four founding mothers in their history. Four. Jacob's four wives, by which he had these 12 boys. It's in the DNA. That's one of the things DNA can do. It's like a roadmap. It points, they use it to solve crimes and everything now. Like they use fingerprints. They still use fingerprints, but they use DNA. There was a group of blacks down in South Africa that they said they were Jews. The Jews said, you're not Jews. Just because you practice circumcision and do, and keep the Sabbath and so forth, Jewish things. They took their DNA. They're Jews. I saw the Ethiopian ones in Israel. Ethiopians, they make good basketball players. They're real tall. Real elegant. They move real smooth. And they lived in a trailer park out there. I saw them. They'd come to Israel. And the women were dressed in beautiful, flowing garments. Colorful. Anyway, we just drove through it. Part of the diaspora. The returnees from the nations. You are, and you have lived, and I have lived, and watched this miracle. This could not happen without being a God thing. He works in the details. So, this to me is exciting. If you're indifferent to it, I can't help you. But it's exciting to see this and have the picture. They're out there in the nations. They're suffering because they won't turn to God, get their act together, and they've gone all the way from 70 AD all the way down, and they still won't get their act together in mass with regard to why they got evicted. They repudiated their Messiah in the face of all contradictory evidence. And they're doing it to this day. There are wonderful exceptions. I understand. But not enough to turn the tide. And by the way, the ones that are Christians today, they're church age believers. However many in Israel, they're actually, I guess they call them Messianic Jews. But all these Jews talk about a Messiah, and you go, what? What's your conception of a Messiah? Who is he? So once you don't have that nailed down, you're vulnerable. And those that remain negative, they'll buy into the Alexander the Great thing. Just like that. To their doom. But others won't. Israel is. You think Israel's been divided lately politically? You haven't seen anything yet. When this rapture occurs and a bunch of them turn to Christ and the two, oh, and Moses and Elijah are out there. Oh boy. Will it get fun now? It'll be father against son, son against father, division in the families with those that say, hey, it is Jesus Christ, and he's coming. So get on board, and they'll be persecuted once again by their own people like they were at the first advent after Christ. The Jews before 70 A.D. Ezekiel, I always like Ezekiel a lot. We gave you those verses, so I won't read those. But we went over that. Let me see a couple things here. Oh, the thing I wanted to point out was this. Let's back up. This is the second restoration. This has been going on, as I said, technically, since around the turn of the second century, of the 20th century. And so it got momentum in connection with a couple wars and the Jews feeling very insecure, places like and other places, we need a homeland, we need to get out of here. So the second restoration is predicated on, one, God's tired of the bad-mouthing of the stupid Gentile nations. God is a person which, you know, and will only take so much. He's very long-suffering, but he'll only take so much. And that's what the world's facing right now. The nations are facing wrath. We know the escape hatch, don't we, for the individual. Turn to Christ, become a believer, and start figuring out spiritually what you need to do if you want to take that next step. So you're not like the masses. Anyway, the insults of the nations, and then we also have a statement in here that, this restoration is due to the insults of the nations, and a verse that needs to be met also taken into effect regarding the Jews returning to the land. See, they think God's blessing it, and he is, but they're not on board with what they need to be. Ezekiel 36:32, I'm not doing this for your sake. This second restoration and that period of it up until we get to the trib, it's not because you're of any goodness in you and you got your act together. That's what it says here. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. I want to read that verse. So I am not doing this for any righteousness in you, because you made the salvation adjustment, you repented of your ancestors' sins, and you want to do it right now. No, I'm not doing that for that reason. As the second restoration kicks in, let's see another verse here. Well, all that's going on right now, it's just another phase of this, and it's remarkable in the sense that I think I'm correct in this. They have been shot at by rockets and terrorist acts, and but they haven't had a war since when? This is a major war. And it appears that they're doing a good job of dismantling this ISIS monster. The same kind of Islamic radicals are running the show down in Yemen. You can find that on your map. It doesn't border Israel. So they're sending rockets up, apparently, as it was in the article there, that the Jews got to try out a new weapon they developed. Arrow-3. And this couple, this Bloomberg guy and his wife, he said, we actually witnessed it. We saw one projectile coming up over the horizon, as it were, and this Jewish thing came up, bam, blew it out of the air. They also have their Iron Dome. But in this last attack, October 7th, there was 30,000 rockets, and all this stuff happened. And everybody's, all the bleeding hearts out there worried about the civilians down in Gaza. Well, they let these clowns rule over them. They don't care about the people other than to suck whatever they can out of them monetarily to do what they want to do. They don't care about their own people. There's a guy did a cartoon. He's under a bunch of trouble for it. He shows them this monster using all these Gazans as a shield. The Jews just took over their biggest hospital. And it's a command center down the basement. So that's what they do. And the Jews are making, who do you know that's been making a big effort to get the civilians away from this so they can take this out? It's a balancing act. And yes, there are civilians that get killed. Who in war have you heard lately that so damn concerned about civilians? Were we in Vietnam? No. Were we in World War II? No. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. So, let's just move on to the next one. Characteristics of the final or second restoration. It begins while Jews are in a state of unbelief, again noted in Ezekiel 36 and documented there, while they are unsaved. We're dealing with the final restoration. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. They've misrepresented God among the nations. While they're religious and they talk God, they misrepresent Him because they rejected the Messiah. So you profane my name. There's more than one way to profane God's name. To misrepresent Him and His word is to profane His name. To badmouth it. There, and also, again, 32. As things. So this begins while the Jews are in unbelief. We wouldn't even have a church age, apparently. But then we wouldn't have had Christ crucified, so here we are, and bearing the sins of the world, if the Jews behaved themselves. And the leaders were righteous like they were at various points in their history. They were corrupt. They bought into this during the intertestament period and substituted the true way of salvation for works of the law, by which no man can be saved. So they got into this. And they perpetuated this all the way through the first advent until they were kicked out of the land. And they still continue to, in their synagogues and elsewhere, they continue to teach that be a good Jew or you can be a proselyte or whatever. And that this is what God is pleased with. He is not. Salvation is not by the works of the law. Abraham was justified by faith. He believed in God, and righteousness was credited to the man when he made his salvation adjustment back in Ur. He wasn't saved by circumcision. What are you even doing circumcision? It wasn't a prescribed ritual until he got to be 100. But see, this is just like all these other people that it conveniently ignore what doesn't suit them. So here we stand in the last days with a skeleton crew, and I don't mean anything disrespectful to you, because people won't stand for nothing but the truth, but the whole truth, as they've learned it and heard it. If it isn't convenient and doesn't fit in, push it aside. But we like all this over here. We're not of that. I am not of that. I didn't choose to follow God's will in my life and under my gift to pull punches and say, okay, we won't discuss that. Because if I teach the truth about the United States and prophecy, I'll lose a bunch of church members. A bunch of flag wavers who put their patriotism above the Word of God. And I ain't doing it. And I'm in good company. I'm in like the company of a Jeremiah who was saying what they didn't want to hear. The enemy's coming and going to take you all down, because you will not turn away from you know what. So that's where we're at. We strive to teach the whole counsel of God and to not deny certain doctrines that would offend people, the shape of the earth, whatever it is. You got to teach it. I can't shrink back. I can be wrong about something and correct it. I've done that. Or not know something and later on figure it out. I've done that over and over. But not to know and refuse. So it begins while the Jews are in unbelief. Physical restoration begins ahead of the spiritual. And the two proceed together at a certain point, because history is going to shift and Jews worldwide are going to turn to Jesus Christ, but we're not there yet. That's coming up. That is so obvious from the Word of God. And so the land, we gave the deal on the land. The physical restoration begins ahead of the spiritual, and the two proceed together. This is taught, see, this is in stages. And to reinforce this to the prophet Ezekiel, he had a vision in chapter 37 in your Bible. Ezekiel 37. The prophet records the fact that the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. He doesn't specify what valley. He is in this experience of being in a great big valley. And it was full of bones. All on the surface, laying everywhere, scattered all over the place. Disconnected, unconnected bones. He caused me to pass among them round about and began, there are very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. They were of no, they had no big significance. They were just like a disconnected bone. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "See, that would be a totally hopeless situation. How is he gonna?" He gives the smart answer. He doesn't say, "Oh yeah," or "Oh no." Like a lot. He says, "Oh Lord God, you know whether they can or not." Again, he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. Now, verse 6, the bones become connected. All the bones in our body are connected by ligaments and tendons and so forth. I'll put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you'll know that I am the Lord. These are stages in Israel's reestablishment in the land. Jews got hooked up with each other. Talk, communication about getting into this homeland. And they began to make efforts in this direction. Flesh over the skeleton, flesh indicates a certain level of prosperity and industry and business. You got to have an economy. You got to have things going on. Agriculture, manufacturing, and so forth. That's this. And I'll cover you with skin. Skin is an organ, and it protects our entire body. It protects everything beneath it. And that's the Jewish military. The rise of the Jewish military, and the one they got today for the size of that country, is pretty phenomenal. And it didn't happen overnight. I guess you say they had skin, thin skin back in the day. And when they were, the minute they were declared a nation in 48, by the UN, by a vote, the US voted for it and others did, they came under attack. The Arab nations around them, Egypt, they're going to wipe them out. But it didn't happen. It's like Old Testament times when they were outgunned, outnumbered, blah, blah, blah. But if you've got God on your side, and he's on their side not in the sense they got their spiritual act together, he's on their side because he's looking to the future. He's going to keep them there. And so they have come under a series of attacks, and they've developed a very sophisticated military system. I remember it was during the Kennedy administration they started developing their nuclear industry. So nations to think twice in the most extreme fashion. They're talking nuclear war out there today. What would happen if the United States and Russia got in a nuclear war? 90% of all Americans would be dead. That's just their estimations based on what they think. Well, we know different. We know what's going to happen when it happens, but they don't. But it's in the talk because of Russia and the United States and our stupid involvement in Ukraine. Whether you like the Russians or not, and we shouldn't be involved over there. We don't know our place. But we've lost track of that for a long time. Ukraine is no threat to us. We ought to keep our money and our weapons and, do everything in our power to keep the world from exploding into a nuclear exchange. That doesn't mean you're cowardly. It means you're smart. You care about humanity. But we don't do that. We're arrogant. And it's gonna blow up on us. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there was a noise. What's the noise? Early efforts at what is called Zionism. Herzl, talk, activity on the part of Jews around the world being stirred up. There's a history written on it. There was a noise, and behold, a rattling. That's bone to bone. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were upon them. I don't know exactly how to define those perfectly, but this means that the Jews are being connected. And flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. That's the final stage, which we haven't got to, the breath stage. When this entity comes alive spiritually. It's an analogy to the creation of man. A body minus a soul is dead. Even if the body is in perfect condition, it's dead. Pull the soul out, and it's dead. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied, as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. This is the future of Israel. And he explains and breaks it down here in verse 11, that these bones, son of man, that's how he referred to Ezekiel, son of man, of these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones, this is the discouraged Jews in captivity. Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves. And cut graves are the nations therein. Graves. I'll open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. There's a bunch of them in the grave called the USA. You're not in your home. You're not in your place. You're in your grave. You're spiritually dead. You're stuck there. My people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you'll know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you. This is for after the rapture. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place on you on your own land. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. You'll have a complete new lesson. Have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Now the Jews today probably think this has already been fulfilled or is being fulfilled. It isn't the spiritual side isn't at all. And so we'll see you Sunday and pick up here. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.